let's just pray for a second. Father, we are so grateful for this opportunity and chance that we have to share together again with our family and come together around the cause of justice and the edifying, the building up of our community. And so we pray for your continued leadership and guidance. Thank you for how you have brought us to this point. Thank you for the leadership that is present here today and for all those who bring their gifts, talents, skills, and abilities, and the ideas and the input to this effort. Pray that you would guide everything that we say and say and do, and give us your spirit to lead us to the desired haven that you have for us. And so allow us to operate in your perfect will today. It's to that end that we pray, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Listen, let's give hardest working brother I know probably doesn't get any sleep at all. Our hand, Mr. Keith Hall.
In the name of Allah, God, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is but one God, and I bear witness that Abraham, that Moses, that Jesus, that Muhammad are his messengers. It gives me great privilege to be here with you, the people of God, that have gathered together for the call of justice. Of course, for over the last year now, we've been meeting every Saturday here at Olivet Institutional Missionary Baptist Church, and we want to certainly thank our host pastor and his congregation for permitting us, rain or shine, and their willingness to support whatever it is that we want and need in this cause. Can we give our brother, Reverend Gordon Humphrey, before we get into the matters regarding the Oscar Grant case, I'm going to ask first our sister who is helping us with regards to supporting the needed. She's looking at me now, she knows I'm going to do this. But we want to bring forward our sister who's leading the charge and gathering support for the suffering people of Haiti to share with us what we're doing and ways that we can help. So let's bring her on right in the front, Sister Judy Bias. She's waiting on the sister to get here too.
Woo, Lord, when you're doing God's work, expect the unexpected.
That's right.
Good afternoon, everyone. Regarding donations for our brothers and sisters in Haiti, collections are going really well. I am extremely excited. I want all of you to be excited. We now have, thanks to Brother Jack Bryson, have barrels at the coffee shop. We have one here. Thank you, Pastor Humphrey. We're gonna have two at Merritt College. My house is like overwhelmed with donations. And hopefully we'll have one placed at Kaiser Hayward. We're looking to place one at Laney College as well, because I have contact there. So please, this is an ongoing effort. Please tell your friends. I have the flyer online. If you want to reach people without taking time to call them, let's just get the word out. My contact information is on there, and then they can call me directly. I'm available for pickups whenever it's necessary, because my prayer is that we have overflow. So I need your prayers with me that we will overflow with donations, because that tragedy could have happened here. We would want them to be there for us. So if you have any questions, feel free to call me or ask. If you want a flyer today, just ask me. I know a lot of you have a lot of powerful friends with money. Let's get to them. If they don't have time to shop, get a cash donation and I'll do the shopping. It doesn't matter. Let's just make this easy. Let's just get this done. I want you to be excited with me. Amen?
Amen. Question from the audience here.
I was trying to get here before you made announcements.
Sister.
I have a contact now that We have a place at the Port of Oakland where all the supplies, when you're ready to ship them, they will go straight to Haiti.
Oh, wonderful. That's an additional contact. Are they going to Washington as well? Do we need a barrel?
No, they're actually going to Haiti, but the Port of Oakland, all of the supplies are going to be shipped through the port anyway. So mm-hmm. now there's actually a, I'm missing the container that is called.
I understand.
You guys probably know what that's called, mm-hmm. but that's where they will be leaving out of Port of Oakland, and so your supplies will come.
Wonderful. You can give me that contact.
Sure will.
That's beautiful.
Okay.
That's my sister.
Let me say, in our effort, we can secure even more help if we can put what we're doing in a document form that perhaps we can post along with our meeting announcements on Facebook, so that others that want to contribute will know where they can contribute, what to contribute, and how to make those contributions. And so once we put something into a documented form that we can post, it'd be very helpful. In addition to the Facebook, of course, Dave is recording, and perhaps some of what we are sharing and how to help may find its way to indiebay.org. And it's important, by the way, that we utilize the media that is in our control to spread the word in what we're doing. I was talking with a student at San Francisco State, our sister Erica, who invited us to share with the Black Student Union on last evening. Thoughts, Jack was in the program as well, and the sister's concern, I believe she works with either the Bayview newspaper or KPFA, and she was concerned over the press conference hosted by Mr. Burris on yesterday and its relationship with, quote, the mainstream media. Well, surely, when our desire is to reach the masses of people, there is a need on many occasions to engage what's called the mainstream media. However, we are very clear that if we want the fullness of our message out, that we cannot expect the mainstream media to do that.
That's right.
In fact, I've learned in just reading the news from events that I've attended, some that have included Minister Farrakhan, for an example, and some that we have participated in, that the most powerful things that we have to share rarely will reach the mainstream media.
That's right.
They're looking for sensational sound bites to meet a storyline that was written before they arrived. I will never forget in 1995, as we were preparing for the Million Man March on Washington, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan visited the Bay Area and had a press conference that I was in a position to help facilitate or to bring in the press and others to that event. We sat at Bethel AME Church, called out the media for this press event, where Minister Farrakhan would address questions from the media, Bay Area, and national media about the Million Man March before it occurred. And the thing that got my attention more than anything else was the absence of Chauncey Bailey. And since I had an affiliation with Mr. Bailey, knowing that he covered Black community events for the Oakland Tribune at the time, I was surprised to see Chauncey Bailey absent from this opportunity to interview Minister Farrakhan about the Million Man March. When the event was done, there was a Tribune reporter present. However, when I read the coverage of Minister Farrakhan's visit to the Bay Area that included a speech before 5,000 or more people at the Henry J. Kaiser Auditorium, when I read the reports, the published reports, it was clear to me that they had no intention of actually covering what the minister said and did while he was here. In fact, We experienced that when he came here.
That's right.
To Olivet for the town hall meeting.
That's right.
And if you watched KTVU and others, you would have never known that the minister was here and what it was he had to share. Now, they were present, but if you watch them, they'll come in the big events. Now, I've seen this happen numerous times. Cameras in tow, getting in everybody's way, pushing Dave out of the way, get out of the way. And they'll gather right here in the first 15 minutes of the event, capture a couple of crowd shots, get a few sound bites, and out the back door. When the minister came to Oakland before the Million Man March, the coverage that recorded his presence, you would have never known he was in Oakland.
That's right.
They took the story that was generated before he arrived here, that had been following him around the country, and rehashed that story. And there was not one constructive statement in what they wrote related to what he said while he was in the city of Oakland. In other words, they didn't need to come. The story was already determined before they arrived. So as we're looking at the case of Oscar Grant, and while we appreciate that KTVU was the first to broadcast the initial YouTube footage of the murder of Oscar Grant, be clear, KTVU is not our friend. They were in position to get the exclusive footage, which to media is an opportunity to draw in more viewers to itself. But that we should expect KTVU to be our friend would simply be an error or a mistake on our part to think for a moment that because we saw our faces on TV or because we heard our voices on TV or because we saw Oscar's murder on that channel first, that they actually intend to be our friend. In every step of this, be very clear, the mainstream media wants to see Mr. Mesley go home.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. The mainstream media wants to see Mr. Mesley go home. So they're advocating through their storylines as much damning information as they can that they feel is that toward Oscar Grant, his friends, his family, their attorney, and us. So as this case continues, we give great respect and we're very thankful for the recording capability of Dave,
yes,
and others, and the sites that are now being used, such as IndieBay.org, JR over at the POCC, I don't know what it, Block Report, I believe
Block
it's
Report
called.
Radio.
The Block Report with JR, those occasions that he's used his seat at KPFA, and I'm not sure if he's still on air there, but he's used his position there to ensure that what's happening on the ground actually has a forum to reach the people. But if we're laying around waiting to see if the Tribune, the Chronicle, or KTVU, ABC, CBS, or even CNN will be our advocate for the causes that our people suffer, we would be making a terrible mistake. Now, this last week, last Saturday, when we heard that a settlement had been reached with the mother of Oscar Grant's daughter, Sister Safina Mason, of $1.5 million, we all were concerned that it appears that this settlement is premature and that it did not meet the demand of justice in this case. And as the days unfolded, the strain and the pain on Oscar's mother and the Grant family over where their settlement agreement would go has been tremendous. We found it necessary to reach out for their attorney to have a family dialogue over what we saw and others have seen. Well, before we could get him, to his credit, Mr. Burris got us and wanted to hear what the thoughts of the community has been. So from the participants in the town hall, some that are not here right now, but calling themselves by various names, General Assembly, Oakland Assembly, is it Oakland Committee for Justice for Oscar Grant?
The overall name is the General Assembly for Justice.
The General Assembly. Just folk that are gathering together for peace and justice. That it doesn't really matter what we call ourselves, because a rose by any other name is just as sweet. And so we are certainly appreciative of the continued activism. And Mr. Burris, through his office, found a way to reach out for many of those that have been interested in the demand for justice to hear what our concerns have been. We agreed with him that before BART has its next board meeting, that we would host a press conference to demonstrate the unity of the Grant family, the activist community, the town hall gatherings, that the public would see and know that we are not settled with the $1.5 million settlement. And before we could host that gathering, KTVU came out with more information in its reporting that would have challenged the settlement case that was not settled. I think last Saturday we said the settlement is not settled. What BART acknowledged was there was a partial agreement, or pardon me, partial settlement. Well, what you don't know is what part, except that an agreement of some sort had been verbally agreed to with Safina Mesa, the mother of Oscar's daughter. Well, none of us felt that that agreement was altogether what they were saying. And none of us were satisfied with what had been done and the appearance of the way that it had been done. And so Mr. Burris pledged that he would fight with us to secure the best possible settlement. Now, he hosted a press conference on yesterday, and from what I'm hearing, that he took a bold stand against the continued efforts in the mainstream media being egged on by someone from BART that is leaking confidential information about the settlement agreements that is besmirching his character as an attorney, as well as in harming or threatening potentially the lives of those that were on the platform with Oscar Grant by placing on them, in his words, a snitch jacket for the reports that they gave to the police and others in the immediate night that Oscar was murdered by Johannes Messner. We're thankful that Mr. Burris took the opportunity and time to make sure that it's the accused that is accused. Huh. And the accused in this case name is Johannes Messner. No others. None others are accused. So that BART has now leaked out enough information through whatever sources. So when you read in the Chronicle, sources close to BART say,
yeah, close
Well, who is that? And what did they say? So rather than bring a settlement that represents some measure of justice, you know, corporate entities such as BART already have money laid aside to deal with problems. You fall down on the BART train. There was a slick area, the carpet had a run-in, and you tripped and fell at BART. They've already got money set to the side to respond to you. You went through the turnstile and your clothes got caught and it ripped your clothing, and you now want BART to you know, replace the value of what they've got money. Okay, ma'am, what is the problem that you have? I went through the turnstile and it caught my dress and it's been torn and ripped. And they got a professional who's been paid to respond to your problem, and included is a budget. Risk management. To respond to you, well, that risk management also includes the murder of Oscar Grant. How do we set this thing to get rid of this? They've got paid professionals who are paid to get rid of problems. What do you say your problem was? You fell down? Oh, we can fix that. Well, the problem here is that they thought that they could fix this problem with a settlement that they were already prepared. The BART board gathered in a private session to agree to a settlement. But before the settlement could settle, someone within their organization began maneuvering to make sure that this doesn't cost us anything more. So before the ink dried on the settlement that may not have been signed by Sophina Mason. Before the ink dried, they then began releasing information about others that are bringing suit against BART to attempt to circumvent their effort at receiving justice, even though these young men were made to watch their dear friend murdered right before their very eyes. None of these young men have recovered yet. They're all victims of trauma and stress that you have to be present to realize what they dealt with. They were handcuffed for 6 hours and left while their friend lay to die. I watched some of the footage they showed our brother Jackie. They were taking him away in handcuffs, and he's fussing every step of the way because he was made to watch his dear friend die within inches of his body. What has this young man endured? And then he looks on TV, and every time he runs a traffic light, he's on television. He gets a parking ticket, he's on television. He has an argument at school, he's on television. Then they come out and begin to leak out what was said in private depositions. Well, why are they doing this? Because BART has made a decision that we don't want to spend another dime on this.
So we spent $3 million. One and a half of the people's money. Therefore, we must report out what we spent.
Okay, maybe you have. But I don't see $3 million that you've spent. If you settled for $1.5 million and you paid Myers Nave, what was it, $250,000? And then you paid Noble $125,000. I don't see where that takes us to $3 million. Now, I don't know what you paid your lobbyists to go to Sacramento with the watered down legislation.
That's where it is.
Maybe you paid some lobbyists something. Maybe you greased some palm somewhere. But that's not our problem. That's yours. Our problem is justice has not been served. Michael Greer, Jackie Bryson, Nigel Bryson, John Two, others have suffered from this. And of course, our sister and mother, Wanda Johnson,
has not been satisfied with justice. So the settlement has not been settled.
That's right.
And Mr. Burris made it very clear that in these leaks to the media, that it has become fairly apparent that the settlement agreements are being violated through the lack of confidentiality that occurred in the dialogues for the settlement. In other words, and I heard him say it, the deal could tank any moment now. In other words, the deal may not be a deal. And he said publicly that he is willing to fight this all the way through the $50 million settlement that Wanda and others made in the first place. Let's give our brother, John Burris, a big round of applause and thank you. You see, because this that is unfolding before our eyes, it's a very serious matter. Because our sister Wanda and Sophina and their families, they're like sheep. And these sheep are now trying to survive in a field of wolves.
That's right.
And the problem here is that the wolf is always looking for the sheep that have gone astray from the flock. For that sheep becomes most vulnerable. And in truth, the wolf lays in wait to find out which of the sheep has the characteristic and the pattern that causes them to be astray from the flock. And you know, the sheep doesn't mean any harm. You ever go to the mall with your children or a big shopping center and one of your children just has the tendency to go the other way? When you go left, the child goes right looking at a toy. Well, now that sheep becomes vulnerable. Yes. You've got predators in the mall. They did a piece on the news recently about those that have been charged or convicted with sex crimes and in San Francisco. And the fact that there's a law that says they can only be within a certain proximity of schools, libraries, daycare centers, places where children may be with some regular schedule. And what they determined in essence was, when you track the number of sex predators and put them in the city of San Francisco and their population, there's almost no way you can live in the city of San Francisco, because nearly every block you go on has a library, a school, a daycare center, something that would place these predators in violation of the law. Well, there are wolves out here that are laying in wait for a sheep to go astray, to pounce on the sheep. Now, we have an obligation as shepherds. Now, sometimes we are unwilling shepherds. I heard someone say in our meeting, I'm not a shepherd. So sometimes we're unwilling shepherds. Sometimes we are shepherds unwittingly, but we do the job without thought because there's love in our hearts for the sheep. But the shepherd has the duty of protecting, feeding, providing right information, warning, guiding, directing the sheep in a field where wolves lay in wait, and the sheep almost never sees the wolf coming. I mean, it's really a cold thing. So Sophina is a sheep. Wanda is a sheep. All of those young men on the platform are like sheep in need of a good shepherd. You don't need any old shepherd.
That's right.
You really need a good shepherd.
Yes.
That is watchful and aware. Yes. And does his or her job in protecting the sheep, and there's something unique about the shepherd. In the Bible, there's another character called a hireling who can be a shepherd, but we have to be very mindful of who's buttering the bread of the island. So when the wolf comes, according to the way it's described in Scripture, and I don't know who this fits, so don't start pointing at people. Because Scripture is conditional lessons.
Okay.
It's conditional lessons. If the shoe fits, you know, you can put it on, but, you know, our shoe sizes change sometimes. The hireling, when the wolf comes, flees. The shepherd sticks around and protects the sheep. So we gathered a meeting to help us all become better shepherds. Mr. Burris stepped out on yesterday, and from what I'm hearing, most that were very pleased with his defense of these sheep that have been consumed in some way by wolves. And so those young men that were on the platform with Oscar are victim of wolf work. Wanda and Safina have been victims of wolf work. They were in need of shepherding. And I want to thank Sister Ann, Brother Gene, Brother Wilson, Dr. Tosco, Brother Christopher from San Francisco, and others that stood up as shepherds to help these that have been attacked by wolves. Now, many, you know, these wolves are so slick. And then you got the foxes too.
Talk about it.
The foxes are even slicker than the wolves. The wolves are just straight up. The foxes are a little more slick about the way that they attack the sheep, but they attack the sheep nonetheless. And so this week has been very eventful. But our brother and attorney, John Burris, we're very thankful that he seemed to grow in his understanding, or at least in his public presentation, of some of the elements that are unfolding here. One thing that's clear, I think he caught Bart by surprise. And the Bart spokesman came out and made a statement, Linton Johnson, of the effect that John Burris has been misleading the media and the community all along from day one. From day one? Huh? You mean when Attorney Burris went on those TV stations when they asked his professional opinion before the Grant family took him on as their counsel, and he said that what we all saw appeared to be egregious, appeared to be an act of murder, certainly negligence of duty, those things that we all saw, that he spoke to. Someone said to him that he inspired us because when this murder first occurred, there were no voices speaking in defense of Oscar in the initial days, but John Burris's. And someone said that, well, we don't want John Burris to sing a solo. What he needed was a chorus and a choir. So some might remember, if we think back, on January the 1st, Oscar was killed. On January the 3rd, we were here, or 4th, whatever that Saturday date was. We were here having, in that case, the sisters weren't here, it was a special men's meeting to respond to the criminalization of our men. And on that day, the video footage had yet to be released into the public genre. But word of mouth began to travel that a young man had been killed on BART by the police unarmed. And we mentioned it during that men meeting, but few of the brothers had much real information yet. Either that night or the next, KTVU received the YouTube footage. The following Monday, we were beginning to see that footage, and We had a conversation with Councilperson Brooks at a town hall in Eastover about what she was hearing. On the following morning, Tuesday, we met here. As many of those that were affiliated with the leadership groups that were assembled by Keith Carson and others in what's called the Black Elected Officials and Faith-Based Leaders of the East Bay Organization, we gathered and met right in that room. And on that Tuesday morning, we reached out for the district attorney, former now, I think we know why, Tom Orloff, to ask him for a meeting to share with us what his intentions were, since we all at this point had seen the murder of Oscar Grant on television. The district attorney resisted. Then, after Councilperson Brooks dialogued a few more moments with him, he said, well, I'll meet three of you. There were nearly 20 of us in that room, and in unity with Councilperson Brooks, we said no, all or none. When he said no, we determined at that point on the following day, Wednesday, I believe that was January the 6th or 7th, the day of Oscar's funeral, that we would have a press conference on the steps of Alameda County Courthouse, and when we were done, we would go and demand a meeting with the then district attorney, all of us that were there, and I guess at that point there were about 100, that went up toward his office to request the meeting, and he accepted our invitation, and of course, from that moment to this, we began to meet with him to demand that he not only bring charges. In that meeting, he said, well, I do intend to bring charges, but I want to gather enough evidence to know that I've got a decent case, and it's going to take me some time to do that. Well, a riot broke out that night, so he didn't have time to do that. The mayor of Oakland evidently had a dialogue after that riot, or on that day or night, with the district attorney and shared with him his view that his silence in this matter had become a matter of public safety concern. And as elected officials, that we should speak into this as a matter of public safety, that you, Mr. District Attorney, are invited to join me, the Mayor of Oakland, in a press conference to address what had happened, because evidently public safety is at risk here. Yes. So the mayor spoke to the matter. He brought the district attorney forward, and the district attorney did, at the mayor's invitation, what he rejected when we invited him to do so. We said to him, Mr. DA, you owe it to the public to say you intend to bring charges and what the process is, because quite frankly, the public does not trust that any process is going to bring charges against a law enforcement officer. His response to us was, I'm not going to do that, you do it. Very next day, he did that at the invitation of Mayor Dellum. So we respect the mayor's command of that particular phase of this situation, and he brought forward the district attorney, who did say what his intentions were, and he did keep his word on bringing charges. So we give the DA one clap, not a round of applause. Give Tom Orloff one big clap. But we let it be known that for his failure to bring charges, that we were not satisfied with his performance of his duty. And out of his dissatisfaction, I believe Reverend Carey made the statement that he should retire, resign, or face a recall. So as we were preparing our documentation to recall him, he was served twice, that there were citizens in the county of Alameda that were preparing to recall him. Now, for some reason, they kept finding that I's weren't dotted, that T's weren't crossed, and somewhere in the office downstairs from his office, they kept finding a reason to not accept the fullness of that documentation. Well, as pressure continued to mount, eventually Mr. Orloff did resign, or pardon me, retire his position as Alameda County District Attorney. On the same phase of time, Chief G and Bart felt it necessary, after 30 years of service in Bart Police Department, with reports coming now from the Myers-Nabe report, the Noble report, and continually being pointed out as the weak link by the community in what happened on January the 1st, when Chief G joined Mr. Orloff, and he also retired after 30 years of service. And I think in his act as Chief of Police and what we've seen, the best thing that he ever did in our experience with him was to retire. Let's give Chief G one big clap, but give yourselves a big round of applause for pushing him to these points. Now, as this case continues to unfold, there are schedules that and elements just to keep in mind. We're learning quite a bit. You all remember the O.J. Simpson trial, of course, those that are old enough to recall that Mr. Simpson was accused of murder. They went to criminal trial. The jury agreed with the argument of the dream team of lawyers that included the late, great Johnny Cochran, and found Mr. Simpson not guilty. When that case concluded, I don't know the timing of the filing of a civil suit, but a civil suit was filed. And even though the jury determined him to be not guilty of murder, the civil case found him financially responsible for the lives and loss of those two human beings that were murdered in the trial of the century. Well, in this case, evidently the civil suit and the scheduling of events occurred earlier than in the O.J. Simpson case. So the civil suit was brought forward before the criminal suit has even begun, or the criminal trial, pardon me, has even begun. And so we're now faced with these issues that we see unfolding right before our very eyes. And, you know, we don't want to assess or judge the timing of them, because I don't know all the details of the timing of them, but we do know that the settlement is now clearly unsettled. I'm very happy that the family of Oscar Grant has reconvened itself. So in that settlement, pardon me, in that press conference hosted by Mr. Burris was the mother of Tatiana, Sister Sophina Mesa, the mother of Oscar Grant, our Sister Wanda Johnson, and community activists and others and all who could fit into that room. I would imagine as that press conference unfolded, and by the time it was done, Mr. Burris declared that you may have tainted the deal. I'm sure he had talked with his clients. And whatever that, remember, he doesn't speak for himself. He's an attorney, right? He's an attorney. He speaks for his clients, true?
Right.
So whatever exists in his client privilege as an attorney, I'm sure that when he said that you may have tainted the deal, that he'd already talked to his clients that were dissatisfied with the deal.
That's right.
So the settlement is not settled. $1.5 million is not the end of what was talked about. In fact, with the position that Bart has taken, whatever that $1.5 million agreement was on the table may now be pulled off the table because a family is now reconstituting itself and its position on this settlement. Certainly, we want to keep the Grant family in our prayers because that settlement decision, we're very clear, is theirs, not ours. And we have shared with our sister Wanda on numerous occasions, don't feel pressed by what our views are with Bart. We will share with you what we think to the degree that you desire what we think. We will give you the best counsel as brothers and sisters as we can, but the decision is yours. And I am certain that none of us, we were very careful in the aftermath of that $1.5 million announcement in not putting any undue pressure on Wanda or Safina or anyone else. We are certainly concerned that that's lowballing a number over what should be done. That's what they had in their risk, what did you call it? In their risk management department, that's where the $1.5 million came out of. Now, surely, Mr. Burris argued well that the value of the lives of these young men, starting with Oscar, there's a methodology that is utilized to determine their worth, which quite frankly, in my mind, is flawed. If the value of the life of these, or in this case, Oscar, is solely determined on his most recent employment status, then that's to say that justice is not blind. Justice is represented in a symbol by a woman that is blindfolded, with a scale in her hand, with evidence on one side and outcomes on the other, by a woman who does not see the race of its victim or of injustice or the race of the accused, that does not see the economic status of the victim or the economic status of the accused, that does not see the educational background of the victim nor the educational background of the accused. But what I'm hearing from these in the legal profession are these arguments that suggest that because Oscar and his friends are non-white, that whatever comes out of the settlement plays against them. That because Oscar and his friends have some criminal record, that whatever plays out in the settlement agreement, that plays against them, that the value of their lives is lessened because they have had, as Bart said, regular contact, or they've had contact with law enforcement. Well, I've got contact with law enforcement. Most of you have gotten contact with law enforcement. You mean to tell me if I'm murdered by a police officer that the amount of contact I've had with law enforcement has anything to do with my being victim of a murder? Now, it'd be different if this was a shootout, and I had weapons, and this contact meant that I was violating the law. But I heard Officer Anthony Peroni declare that if Oscar Grant had not been killed, that he would not have even taken down his name. So now that contact with law enforcement, in this case, Bart, why was there even a contact made in the first place?
Right.
The type and kind of contact that was made between the Bart officer and Oscar and his friends right off the top was out of order. Right off the top. If they were in search of someone that was alleged to have had a fight on the BART train, first and foremost, they didn't even have a victim that they had spoken with. They heard that there had been a fight, but they had yet to speak to a victim or a witness as to who they were looking for. They received a call that was very general. Some black guys were on the train. Now, be clear about it, Oscar and his friends are not all considered black in the common language. Some of them are Latino. His girlfriend was with him, Safina. She's Mexican or Latino. You all with me now? But when the officers arrived looking for black men, whatever the notions of their own mind suggested, that now meant that as soon as they encountered black men, seemingly the first black men they saw, I don't know if they encountered any other black men before they got to the friends of Oscar Grant and began, in case one, Officer Peroni, began threatening them with his language and with his taser gun. That with those threats, Oscar and Michael Greer attempted to get out of this crazy man's way and got back on the train. When he got on the train and ordered them off the train, they complied with this order. He did not have to use a weapon to get them off the train, and that's not the proper use of his weapon, by the way. He instructed them off the train, and they got off the train, and he immediately began to brutalize them, as stated in testimony. Immediately, he pulled one of them down, in his words, with a hair takedown maneuver. He snatched one by the head and dropped him to the ground. In his words, he wasn't worried about their having a weapon because he was too busy throwing Michael Greer against a wall. If he had a weapon, he couldn't have used it, was his testimony. Because I threw him against a wall. And of course, there would later be another case of a man thrown through the window in Bar. Seemingly loving to throw people. So their encounter that evening did not demonstrate in any way, shape, or form that Oscar and his friends were in any way suspect of a crime. They were victims of a crime. So the settlement being attacked because they had a prior record of some kind, possibly, had nothing to do with that night because Officer Peroni wasn't looking for a suspect that he could put his hand on. He just came into some black men and turned them into victims. So whatever their life was irrelevant. And by the way, given that whatever they had contact with police for, they'd already paid their price, they're free citizens to be treated equally under the law. The problem was that the enforcers of the law did not give them equal treatment. They treated them like animals. So when we're hearing what Bart is now pronouncing, that they see that there's a fight on their hand, is, simply put, the flowers they gave Wanda on January the 1st were a trick. The space that they offered and allowed the family to use for a vigil was a game. The apologies that have come through some of their board members was personal. It was not from the institution called BART.
Come on.
Because if the apology is sincere, then a sincere apology is followed by an act of atonement. And after an act of atonement, of sincere offering, then forgiveness can be had. But how could Oscar's family offer any real forgiveness if someone says, "I was wrong, here's $1 million, now let me slap you again. Let me shoot you again. Let me kill another one that is in your family." That's not forgiveness. That's game. That if I can pay you off now, I can live another day to kill somebody else. Remember that Oscar Grant is not the first to be murdered by BART police. He's the third. He's simply the first case that has ever been met with the charge of murder in the case of Johannes Medley. So, sisters and brothers, we want to remain vigilant. Stay united. Any progress that has been made from January 1st until now is really, we got Reverend Zach Carey, I see him run out the door. We got to see our brother and give him a big round of applause. Welcome back, brother. Thank you. Any progress that has been made from January 1st until now is the sole result of the demands being made by a public that found its way to unite. And our unity gave our demands greater strength. Frederick Douglass it was that said, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did and it never will, but that power that demand must be backed by power. And the power that has backed our demands has been the power of our united efforts. The fact that they've heard from academic world, they've heard from the activist world, they've heard from the rich, they've heard from the poor, they've heard from the black, they've heard from the white. In our united stand, it has forced the hand of those whose hands would never move without force. And so for that, the efforts of our town hall meetings and our gatherings with the General Assembly, the various activities that have occurred, have made progress, and that has forced us to unite. Now, in closing on these points, the case will reconvene on February the 19th in Los Angeles. Activists in Los Angeles are beginning to organize as we are here. And so as we have the General Assembly here for Justice for Oscar Grant, there's now the Los Angeles, what is it called?
Coalition.
Coalition for Justice for Oscar Grant. And on February the 18th, they're hosting a gathering there that includes several of us, as well as, I believe, the mother of Tupac Shakur, to participate in the Crenshaw District in Los Angeles to gather our people to share what actually has happened here and what they will see unfolded there. The February 19th hearing is to hear the defense motions that the trial district attorney should be removed from the case. The allegation is that because the DA of Alameda County brought charges, that evidently the opinion is that he brought charges under political duress. Therefore, some other county DA should try the case. We want to help the DA. That's true. To do a good job. Yes. We could have done a little better in the change of venue motion, yes, but we are where we are now, but as God would have it, they thought they would go to Republican San Diego County, and they ended up in Rodney King, Los Angeles County, for this trial. That's divine providence. So as we go to Los Angeles, that hearing will be an attempt to remove Alameda County's DA. I don't think it will work. Seems to be a traditional thing just to do to delay the time, to delay the doom. Then you have the second part of the motion, which is to reduce the bail of Johannes Medley from $3 million down to a lesser number. I don't know about you, I've never heard of a black man on trial for murder that had his bail reduced.
Huh.
I just have never heard of it. But that is what that hearing is for. And to us, it will be an opportunity to support the Grant family and the tribe, as well as to help ensure that Southern California is at least as well informed as some of us are becoming in this process of trial. The judge did declare in the initial hearing in Los Angeles that he thought that this trial would be underway in mid-May. So we're going to stay vigilant, stay organized, stay in communication and stay united. We don't all have to have the same thoughts at the same time. But I have to say, I was very pleased with some of the responses I've seen in writing from Rachel and Sam and others and Dave as they're reporting the ongoing day-to-day challenges that are being faced in our desire to bring justice in the murder of Oscar Grant. We don't all have to think alike, but you know we should think enough to talk to each other. That we can decipher what may be the best course of action. And if what you think is not most effective, you make a mistake to pull away from the flock as a sheep out there by yourself. You make a mistake. You're in a sea of wolves that are seeking whom they may devour. I think the Bible said it this way, they go to and fro, up and down, seeking whom I may devour. Well, when the sheep get away from the flock, the wolves get busy. The hirelings flee, and the sheep are eaten by these vicious wolves who manage multi-billion dollar institutions such as BART, law enforcement unions, that have exhibited their power throughout this process. So let's be watchful, let's remain mindful, let's be united in our effort to secure justice. Sister?
Yeah, you know, I've watched the issues with Toyota unfold on television.
With the gas pedal thing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And right away, that CEO stepped up and apologized. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, in reference to this case, how much that would have done to the Grant family if someone would have said, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. we're going to do something to try and help this situation. But a whole year later, we still don't have an apology.
Well, I can tell you why.
Okay,
there it is. When one apologizes for a wrong deed, you have acknowledged what was wrong. And the problem here is BART has yet to fully acknowledge what went wrong and what their responsibility in that wrong is. Now, those reports from those outside agencies pointed out the failures of their organization, their structure, and the training of their law enforcement officers, and that's nice. But we have not seen, and by the way, I believe those reports are not allowed in the trial, if I understand that properly. As Myers Nave, its role was as an internal investigation unit. So rather than the Internal Affairs Department, if you can call it that, for BART, that becomes private employee relations sort of matters. So we have seen the public report. We have not seen the private report. I would imagine that the attorneys in the civil suit have seen the private report, but certain elements of it we will never see, and neither will we see it in the criminal trial. So BART spent money to study itself, but they did not spend money to right the wrong.
That's right.
To right the wrong, they would have to come out for rightly.
They still call it a tragic accident.
Right. Mm-hmm. This tragic accident, mm-hmm. however, those young men caused it. No, those young men did not cause it. They were victims from the beginning. It'd be different if they walked up and there was a melee going on, since they claimed that there was a fight on the train and the officer had to engage this heated situation. It was the officers that heated up the situation. They were standing around, minding their business. Girlfriends, dates, New Year's Eve, on the way, going wherever they were going. They were cool until Anthony Peroni showed up. So given that their officers instigated what they called a heated situation. One thing that's very clear about many of our young people is they're not as afraid as maybe our people were 100 years ago right out of slavery. So if someone walks up and just shouts them down, they shout it back. Cusses them down, they cuss back. But if you watched the footage that on and in the testimony, while they talked, they obey orders. Sit down here.
Man, you ain't no real cop. You a effing rental cop.
And they sat down. Right? So while their language depicted that they were unafraid, their intelligence also demonstrated obedience to orders. Okay, I cuss you, but you can't shoot me for cussing. So I'm going to cuss you, but I'm going to sit right here on this concrete while you're threatening me with weapons. Their words simply demonstrated that they were emotionally unafraid. Or, pardon me, maybe they were afraid and helped or hoped that their words would stave off the attacker. You know, it's like if a dog barks at you. Maybe you think if you stamp your foot or bark back, the dog will turn the other way. Well, the dogs were barking, the skunks were urinating, and we ought not be surprised that when a skunk urinates, it leaves stink all over the room. So the skunks urinated all over the bark track and left their stench for everyone to suffer. And the greatest of suffering was that of Oscar Grant. We are not surprised in the community when dogs bark, which is what they did with Oscar and his friends. They say it's not anything unusual when a dog barks at the moon. It would only be unusual if the moon barked back. So these young men were strange to these officers for their response of self-defense with words. At best, they were defending themselves against verbal and physical abuse. So whatever the lawsuit settles for, they are certainly entitled as victims of verbal, physical, and emotional abuse that they will have to live with and recover from for much of their lives. So are they entitled to a suit? Of course they are. Were things said in the early interviews? Whatever was said, but you know what? It's not new. That's why Mr. Burris spoke into the issue as he had. Whatever was said was spoken the night that Oscar was killed. So much was going on. They were handcuffed for 6 hours, I believe, and which is, by the way, cruel and unusual punishment. Unlawful detention, the handling of them. Who knows what had been said? They don't know whether their friend has survived, perhaps. If you hear the testimony of them, they saw smoke coming out of their friend's body from the close range of the fire, of the bullet. They heard their friend's last spoken words as he could not believe that they had shot him. Think over it, they shot me. They shot me. He couldn't believe it himself. So simply put, the trauma on them surely is tremendous. So we would not bring ourselves to judge anything that they spoke on January the 1st to some law enforcement officer that they hate at this moment. And they're probably talking just to get away from them. So as this case unfolds, we are certainly going to remain as vigilant as we can. We need to prepare our mind down. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Ms. Mahone, what I believe with the younger children that were on that platform is that they had heard about this years ago with Martin Luther King and doing the Civil Rights Movement. They probably didn't believe before their eyes that they were actually seeing this happen. You know, we had come too far for us to repeat this cycle. They just probably just didn't believe that it would ever go that far either, you know? And that's the sad part, you know, that even in this day, after all that we've been through as struggling as people, that we are really right where we've been.
We owe it to our children.
Yes.
To teach the nature of the struggle of our people.
That's right.
And what has happened with Oscar and others should really be included in the curriculum. Right. In the schools where our students are concerned, everywhere in the country.
That's right.
It's criminal to leave our people to think that after 400 years of oppression, that all of a sudden it has gone away. Even as we're looking at Haiti. Haiti is the place that Columbus landed on and committed genocide against the native people there, whose population reduced in 60 or so years from 8 million native people to zero. By 1555, some said that they were all gone. And it prompted the demand for another slave. That would be us. Which is why we are here right now. So on that island, that those that were brought first, Columbus's brother in 1505 was sent back to Africa to bring slaves because the Native Americans or the Native people were resisting. Columbus himself was the first transatlantic slave trader.
That's right.
He took Native people back to Europe to make slaves of them and began to take them by the thousands. He took 5,000 Indians out and back to Spain to be sold as cattle. When the Indians died off and were murdered in these acts of genocide, it became apparent to them we need more slaves because we can't handle these crops.
Come on, and
enter the African slave trade. Haiti is unique. And those African people who knew their freedom and recalled their culture stood up under Toussaint and I believe Dessalines, is that his name?
Dessalines.
And overcame their tormentors. They fought off the Spanish. They fought off the British. They fought off the Americans. They fought off the French. Well, now they've been fighting for their economic survival from that time to this. They've been exploited economically from that time to this. So now that our people are suffering, Judy has the methodology to make our efforts to support. We appreciate that now in the Port of Oakland, there'll be a way to ship what we are gathering directly into Haiti. You know, in our united efforts, we can accomplish just about anything we will. Have you noticed that?
That's right.
We weren't clear that what we would gather would reach the people. And now, right in the port of our city, we're able to offer direct support to the people of Haiti. Give yourselves a big round of applause. If there's any other thoughts or questions, please. Yes, sir?
It should be noted that the young man was never charged with anything.
Exactly. The friends of Oscar Grant were never charged with any criminal wrongdoing. They were held for 6 hours or so, and if anything that they had done were considered criminal, somebody would have been charged with something. And even if they find themselves able to demonstrate that a fight occurred on the train, they weren't charged with that. So all of that right now is irrelevant because Anthony Peroni, Marisol Domenici, Woodfinden, is that the name? Officer Woodfinden, of course, Johannes Mezzali, and others had no direct knowledge or indirect knowledge that these young men were involved in any criminal doings. The only criminal that we're very clear about, and I'll say the only, the criminals that we're very clear about are named Johannes Messer, Anthony Peroni,
right,
and at a lesser degree, but also participated, Marisol Domenici.
That's right.
Others that were witness and participants, they were yet to testify how criminal they were. But we may see, as the criminal case proceeds, how criminal were the other officers. and we will learn from facts that are revealed in evidence what all this means. And so, any other concerns or questions, thoughts, ideas? Yes, sir.
I was wondering, I mean, not that you can answer it, but I'm just wondering in general, you know, were they even read their Miranda rights that night? You know, because they weren't charged with anything, so the police are sitting there interrogating them, taping them, and then, you know, to contrast that, that Messerly was never even questioned. He wasn't drug tested or anything, and here they are grilling these kids and leaking stuff out about what they may or may not have said.
To protect the interests of Bart. See, all the leaks are to protect the interests of Bart. And we're very clear about that. So we're thankful, again, that Mr. Burris took a bold stand, and we stand with him in that stand. We want to encourage him to continue to do the best job that he can, because the community certainly is watching and hopeful that those that have accepted the responsibility to represent our interests will do that in the best possible fashion. And we're very thankful that Mr. Burris has organized his offices to begin to respond to the aggressive attacks being made by the institution of BART, though they deny it, and their companions in the media. BART, if nothing else, since the murder of Oscar Grant, has done its best to master spin. So every day you turn on the news, there's something about BART. They've begun the process of mastering the spin. They're real spin doctors. So that even before the BART board, as I understand it, voted to agree to this $1.5 million deal, the spin doctors already put it before the public. So before the dust settled, before they could approve what had happened, it was already in the public genre through their spin machine. So let's just be careful that we don't get caught up in the spin. We stay plugged in to our circles of information here at the town hall, ndbay.org, General Assembly, and to the degree that our black papers will pick up what's coming out, the Post, the Bayview newspapers, elements over at KPFA, and other outlets that allow us, of course, the Final Call newspaper, that allow us to have our actual story heard and known. Sisters and brothers, thank you all for your time. Yes, ma'am. We got to have the toxic triangle.
Yes, sir.
May I? Oh, you may. Oh. You all know our sisters. You want me to do it?
You have a little bit more history. We're just trying to lift it up.
Our town hall meetings actually began in San Francisco in response to the toxic triangle poison of our children in Bayview Hunters Point, who have been exposed unnecessarily so to asbestos by the Lennar Corporation. When we began to study the impacts of environmental racism, we learned what Sister Nahanda has been involved with for quite some time now, and that's the impact of environmental racism on Oakland, Richmond, and San Francisco. On next Saturday, from 9 to 4 at Allen Temple Baptist Church, is a wake-up call to the community, policymakers, and all concerned with our future and health, where a follow-up to the Toxic Triangle public hearing held about 2 years ago now at the Oakland City Council Chambers, then hosted by Councilperson Destiny Brooks, at Allen Temple Baptist Church. For information, you can contact Sister Nahanda, who's here, or our brother, the Reverend Daniel Buford, that are organizing this event to share with us the magnitude of toxic exposures that and the impacts of those, and the legislation involved with correcting it at Allen Temple Baptist Church, 9 to 4. I believe I'm in the program at 2. At 2 o'clock, as well as Sister Nahanda will be there the whole day, and Reverend Buford and others, to make sure we're well informed of the continual problem of toxicities in the communities where we are living. There's still, right up the street, at 30th and San Pablo, a toxic waste
dump that they, I think, have begun to attempt to do something with. It's gated off. I see some equipment on the lot. But there are very many toxic areas in our community known as brownfields, as well as what do you call the zones? Superfund sites that are so toxic that the federal government has poured millions of dollars into the cleanup of them. You'll find them in many of these manufacturing plants, areas that have been shut down, the areas behind BART and near the tracks, many of them are toxic waste dumps. And we may have learned that West Oakland, as an example, has the highest incidence of asthma in the country.
That's right.
And East Oakland has numerous brownfield zones that are dangerous, and some have become playgrounds. There was a Superfund site at a park on Bancroft in 98, and Bancroft, now a public park, but it was a battery acid waste dump for many years. And while there's green grass, if they stop watering that grass, real quick, you understand that it was not meant as a playground in its origination. And so, sisters and brothers, thank you all for your time and for your attention. I'm going to ask Reverend Humphreys if he would close out. Zach, did you want to share anything with us?
No.
That's our Reverend. Praise God. Please receive the Reverend Gordon Humphreys and close us out with prayer. Bring him on with a round of applause. By the way, you can catch the entirety of the press conference held by John Burris at indiebay.org. It is also clipped up in Facebook now, so if you're linked to me and a few others in Facebook, you'll be able to see Attorney Burris's entire press conference.
Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for our time here today. We are grateful that you've allowed us another opportunity to continue our pursuit of reform and justice for our people. And so, honor what has been said here today, and thank you for what has been poured down into our hearts, and thank you for how our minds have been enlightened. Let us be transformed into better people because of what has been shared, and give us the strength and the courage and the grace and the wisdom that we need to be successful in the days ahead. And so give us comfort as we go down from this place. And bless us for the month of February as we get it into it. It is today that we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Amen.